copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Whenever we get to the gospel, we see Christ first, but in order to present Christ with his great work, which he did, and as we heard even this morning, even in the book of Acts, continuing, God took time and inspired writers to start from the very beginning. So even in the gospels, we have some introductory of the Messiah, where he comes from. And let me just take a few moments for sharing a little bit of the story of my life. And I think there will be some points where they will be kind of attached to some of the issues which we may deal today. See, I'm one of those specially blessed by God because I was born into evangelical family. I'm a third generation into evangelical family, and my grandfather was a pastor, and most of my family is involved in the ministry of a church or churches. So I say I'm blessed because the gospel was kind of given me at the very early days days of my life. And I know that being Polish, this is not a usual situation. You know that Poland is a country since for the last 1,050 years, as we were baptized or Christianized. In Polish language, to be a Christian means to be baptized. The word Christian doesn't come from Christ, like in English, but from baptism. So we were baptized, and we are a Christian nation. And I think right now, as you know, the kind of European climate, religious climate, perhaps you know that Poland is one of the most Catholic country in Europe. When I say Catholic, I mean the Catholic, Roman Catholic, means more culture than beliefs. So lots of people don't care what to believe or not to believe, but the culture is there. To be Polish means to be Catholic. So many people, when they find out I'm a pastor, they say, oh, so are you German? I say, Bajeński, SKI, it's Polish only. But this is how kind of climate I was born. And some major points of my life were, I was 6 years old, my father was 28, on his 28th birthday he died because of kind of sickness. And this also had a big influence on my life because then I was brought up mostly with my grandparents when my mother remarried. And I could observe the Christianity in the, I would say, especially my grandma, all the good things I could learn just by looking at our home. This was great preparation for something. I didn't know for what, but this is how my life was. And I was 12 when I received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And this was such a moment when I knew God is not anymore just a God of my father's grandfather, my God. And I still remember the time I stood at a small village on the east part of Poland by the river. There was a baptism, and I requested to be baptized also. And I saw this couple of villages, people came to see what those, as they say, Baptists are doing. And I still remember this. This was, 50 years ago. I was so proud. I stepped on the side of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, the pride inside was such a great. At the age of 16, I met the beauty of my life, she came to my school just for a few moments, and I saw her love for the first sight. But she was not a Christian, and a year later, and in Polish we say, who is a girl or boy you walk with? So I started to walk with her, date her. But she wasn't a Christian, and you know, I wasn't kind of ready to tell her I am evangelical Christian. But a year later, God has dealt with my heart so deeply, so strongly, that I knew that I have to know what am I going to do with my new life, which has been given to me. And I knew I will be working in the gospel. I didn't know pastor or evangelist, but gospel. So first thing I did was I told my girl, you know what, I'm an evangelical Christian. I never should even start this relationship. So this is a New Testament, and this is our letter. This is our kind of last meeting, and we just apart. But she couldn't believe what can be so important for the young guy who is in love with me. And so a few months later, she read the New Testament. She called me back, and she became a Christian. And today, she's my wife. We have two children, son and daughter. And I'm grateful to say that both of them are in ministry. Unfortunately, both of them married to Americans. But that means our son is a kind of global outreach pastor in San Diego, California, in a big church there. But our daughter, she brought her husband to Poland, and they live in Warsaw with us. So we're 1-1 in America. But all this also kind of caused our family, my wife and me, to kind of learn to live in a third culture, yes, with the grandchildren, and we have four grandchildren now. And when it comes to the ministry story, you know, I was always in the church. I did everything what was to do in this church. Play piano when there was a need, and paint. But then when I knew that I would be working in the gospel, I finished my education, theological education, and the moment I finished this, I was 26. My home church invited me to be a senior pastor of Warsaw, Poland. I replaced 80 years old founder of this church. So you understand, the church gave a lot of grace to a person like this. And a fascinating time in my ministry began. Our church grew from kind of 50 to 200, and this was continuing. I was happy with this. But for 13 years, and after 13 years of my ministry, I just felt like I am leading nowhere. You know, maybe some of you have this, that you do a good things, you do repeat the things, but it's, you know, sometimes on the farmers, Polish farms, there, I don't know how it is in English, but there is a kind of some kind of machinery, and you employ the horse there, and the horse goes around, and something is I don't know, producing or doing something there, and I felt like this horse, you know, going around, preaching, baptizing, discipleship, but. With this, I asked for the sabbatical, and I got a 1 year of sabbatical. I was able to do some extra studies in California at a Christian university. I came back, and God has blessed our church, blessed me with absolutely great, unexpected growth. In the 2 years, we doubled attendance from 200, 400, 600. I had this privilege again to be a part of something which is just growing, you know, and all the problems were the problems of growth rather than the problem of death or unhealthy situations. So with this, we became the largest Polish evangelical church. And after a few years of doing this, unexpectedly to me, God kind of showed me that this is the end of my time with this congregation. And so now, for For the last 15 years, I am overseeing denomination, and I feel like I'm more now still pastor, but more like a church doctor, usually going on the emergency, many times on the emergency sign, or maybe I should say like a fire department, but also going and helping leaders, especially the leaders in the smaller congregations and the leaders where there is not enough maybe leadership elders where they can discuss when they take care of the their church. So I'm helping, and I try to be happy with this. Although I think sometimes I just confess this, that you know, when you are in the denominational position, I have to say, I feel like when it comes to the church, I feel like I'm homeless. I'm welcome to different church every weekend almost, but it's like being in the hotels. This is a beautiful hotel, but it's not our home. We don't belong here, yes. So this is something which in my leadership I have to cope with. In the 8 years ago, I think it happened. Happened something which I never dreamed about, I never wanted. A couple of businessmen from America came to Poland. They did different seminars on business, but then also they came to Warsaw. They met me, and we started talking about discipleship. And I look at those gentlemen and said, business people, but they are so much passionate for discipleship. So I learned they are from Atlanta area. So great, we started to have a kind of deepen our relationships, and I learned many, they were not new things for me, but finally the things like discipleship grasped my heart. Now, when I was a pastor of a congregation in Warsaw, I think I can say, I have a right to say, I'm one of the most successful when it comes to numbers. But discipleship was never in my heart as a passion. I had this in my papers. I had a part-time associate for the discipleship, but he never had a chance to do anything meaningful because you know how it is, you know, in the senior leader has a different kind of things to do or in his mind different passion maybe. You can't do much. But with this, you know, this was like God was giving me on the plate something which I, as I said, I didn't pray for, I didn't ask for, these discipleship issues. And I started to struggle with this as they were sharing more and more of their life and their ministries. You know, God has just kind of converted me. This is one of the biggest, most important conversions in, which I had in my life. I think I need a few more, but but when it came to discipleship, and so I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to get into this. I'm a little bit tired with all the new things and all the things I try to do in my life, so this denominational thing will be enough. But it looks like God had a different plan, and it just grabbed my heart in such a way that I can say, with our kind of vocabulary, I can say, I received discipleship in my life. And maybe I should say even, I received Randy Pope, Pastor Randy Pope from Atlanta, Georgia, into my heart, because he was the one who later on kind of, from whom I have learned the most about the discipleship, and it became a key ministry in my kind of broader ministry, key part of this ministry. I started with the men's groups, and until now I'm leading every Thursday, every week, with some exceptions, but almost every week I meet with a group of men, and I try to help them two things. I try to deconstruct some of the things they brought into their Christian life, from the old life. And I tell you, I have now six, all of them are over 40 plus. Two of them are in the patchwork relationships, one wife, second wife, now third, children. So I help them. He's a Christian since 4 years. I help others to become followers of Christ, so to deconstruct some of the ideas they came in with, and then construct a new Christ DNA, if I think this will be the shortest, to form this Christ DNA in all of us there. Two of them are are coaches on a very high kind of level. They coach people, one in speaking, one in life coach. But it comes to the reality, I see they are sometimes like a babies in the Christianity, in this forming of a Christ figure in their eyes, in their minds, in their hearts. So I see discipleship as a way to empower, as a way to help with this, how you call this in English, the spiritual formation, to form them so we all can be more like Christ. So together with my wife does this with the ladies, I do this with men, and I tell you, the only thing I can say is, why in the world I didn't got into discipleship 20 years earlier. I have two of my associates, when I left the church, they became the senior pastors in the congregations, which we had one church in two locations, so they became the, I think if I would be more in discipleship then, I would not have so many problems now with those guys to convince them the discipleship is the way. And I have to say that we as a pastors, when it comes to the discipleship, we are the toughest. Yep, we are the biggest problem when it comes to discipleship, our pastors. This is my experience, and I deal not only with one denomination, we have 35 churches in our group, but also with other evangelical denominations. It's exactly the same. I see some good signs of change there, and now in Poland we have about 25 different congregations from different denominations who started to do discipleship, special discipleship group. And so sharing this with you, I just wanted you to know that, okay, these are my experience. And of course, experience doesn't prove anything, yes? It just proves I had this experience. But I think we can use some of our experience and ask God for the wisdom to use them well. And so being here with you, I would like to just, I don't know really how much you are into the discipleship. I understand this is advanced. So if my question is, do all of you like lead a discipleship group? Can you raise the hand who does? Okay, so there's a great company of the saints here. And you know, sometimes when I think of this, I try to come as simply as possible to the subject. I learned from a church, from the business people, and from a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. But what I learned, he just reminded me what I read so many times in the gospel, that when we talk discipleship, we talk Christ model. And I still remember, you know, the church I am And with this called Church of Christ. It's a kind of nice traditional name for it. So we use this. And I always try to be Christ-centered in my life. I want to be like Christ. This is always my passion, you know, in preaching and teaching. But then when I was in Atlanta on some training, somebody asked me, you know, do you think you have a right to say that you are really a follower of Christ if you don't follow him in his method of ministry? Wow. I tell you, this was like somebody would kind of shoot me down, you know. I said, no, it's not. It's not that I won't just become like Christ in the character and in the goals, in the purposes, in the mission, but I want also to become like the Master. And especially that he said, it's enough for the disciple, yes, to be like Master. We don't have to be better. And many times I just caught myself that, you know, I have a better idea how to do a ministry. I thought this way. And I like this simple pattern. Jesus loved the whole world. He ministered to thousands, to many, and he focused on 12. So the challenge is love the whole world as he did. Minister to as many as you can, as we can. But if there are not this focus on the few, we are not following the master plan, master way of doing. And how we are doing this? What's the process? For me, the process is, I learned this, the mission of discipleship, life on life as a model. And sometimes in my life, I tend to be creative in the things. So whenever I see something, immediately I say, oh, this could be a little bit different, and this may be a little bit of Polish way, you know. But on this occasion, discipleship, mission of discipleship, life on life, I try not to improve this. I try to just learn this. What's the process? How it goes? And like in every computer, we have operational system. I am still with Windows, you know, system. So, operation system. This operation system opens all the applications we have, all the programs. And I believe that discipleship is like an operational system for us as a Christian. It's a door, it's a window to every part of our lives. So when we do discipleship, when we do this in Poland, word discipleship is such a foreign concept. Nobody uses it except evangelical Christians. So I tend to use more of this, which Polish Catholics would use also, a spiritual formation. So when somebody becomes a Christian, and then we try to help form a Christian, we try to refine this person. You know, we are saved by grace, yes, through faith. Am I right? Which means that if somebody is, I don't know the English word for it, but some kind of ugly person is saved as an ugly person, and the nature is still ugly. And now it's a challenge of making this person more like Christ, which is become more like, Bible used the word holy, yes, to be holy. In our everyday life, we use the word noble, to ennoble us, refine us, so that people can look after a year, two, three, and say, wow, what happened? I just became a follower of Christ. Wow. So I learned this operational system, and for me this is this simple system where there is, we start with truth, and we do a truth which is the Word of God, yes, truth, Bible. And then we go to equipping phase, which is we take a Bible and we massage it. We try to do to understand this and to know, okay, this applies to this, it doesn't apply to that. So the massaging the truth. I don't know how it is in your countries, but in Poland, many evangelical people, if needed, we can quote any verse of the Bible at any moment. If you are for a couple of years in a church, you know verses very well. But sometimes, you know, when I listen to how people quote verses, I say, my goodness, this is absolutely out of context. I had an interesting talk with a gentleman who is a vice prime minister of Poland right now, one of them. And on occasion, we were talking about some issues, kind of legal issues between evangelicals and the government. And he says, yeah, and the truth will set us free. So I said, Mr. Vice Prime Minister, am I right that this verse comes from my book? And he knew, you know, I'm a pastor, so he said, yes, I remember Jesus said. But I said, you know, when I know this truth, I think it's written there that to those who believed in him, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and truth will set you free. So this is for the limited company. It's not for everybody to use. But I am happy that politicians quote my master. So we had a nice conversation on this, but I think this is somehow, so often we do this with the Word of God, you know. We apply this in the ways which sometimes are strange. So in this process of spiritual formation, truth number one, the Word of God, and John Lennox does a wonderful job in reminding us, Word. So the equipping, and then this accountability. And I tell you, I don't know how it is in other cultures, but in Poland, for some reason, we just hate word accountability. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the business, corporations, you have no choice. There are ways to be accountable. But in the church, what do you mean accountability? I try to say, it's a way of encouraging you. Yeah, accountability never can be encouragement. Now, I learned from somebody such a saying. It's in English, but I translated it into Polish also to make it more useful for me. People are not doing what is expected, but what is inspected. And I know about you, but I am also the person like this. And it's not that I don't want to do what I should do. It's on my desk. It lays down there. And I know they pay me even for doing this. But for some reasons, I'm doing some other things. I am busy. So knowing this, that this is a part of our nature. When you're a follower of Christ and you are in this discipleship mode, we help each other to do what is expected by, the word inspected is such, in Polish doesn't sound nice, but I think the meaning is there. You know, in my group, one of the gentlemen over 12 years as a Christian in good evangelical church. And we started first couple weeks, and we talk about having a quiet time and worship God in your private. The best at the beginning of the day, not as a last thing before you kind of fall asleep, yes? And we all were excited about we started this. And after a few weeks at the meeting, he says, "You know what, guys? For the first time in my life, I am doing something which I always believed in, I always wanted, but I never did in a consecutive way, every day. What made the difference? Accountability. He knows that every Thursday he may count on one of us asking, 'How was your time with the Bible, with the prayer?' And sometimes the answer is, 'No Bible this week. I had hectic, I had no time. I confess this is not right, but this is what happened.' And of course, as a Christian, with the grace, we say, 'Okay, we won't kind of beat you now, we won't.' But, you know, this is, you confess, it's unfair, yes, and unfair to yourself, yes. So, next week, yes, yes. And I tell you, it helps even me, you know, as a pastor, as a professional in the ministry, it just helps us. So, since people are not doing what is expected, but what is inspected, this accountability is part of the of this program. And then the mission. And I think this is one of the most difficult things. It's still sometimes we struggle. Every time we meet, there's this missional part of this. How to make ourselves, how to kind of force ourselves to do mission outreach. You know, most of my work is meeting with people. Unfortunately, these are mostly pastors and elders and church leaders. So there's not much material for the, you know, becoming a Christian, yes, making decision for Christ. They have already done this decision. So I have to be very intentional, really, in my life, to look for the where I can do something about the gospel, to share the gospel. Some of the friends, but most of my friends are in the church, in the churches already. So it is very challenging, but at the same time, when we think of this, do you want to be like Christ? Yes, you have to be missional. No other way, with your hands and with your words. Sometimes you just do something to get interest, and sometimes you just you just raise the right question. You know, we believe, especially we pastors or preachers, we believe that we need to tell the gospel to people. But many times I think it's much easier when we raise the right question, and people come back and say, "Explain it to me." And so the last fifth part of this is a prayer. So from truth, equipping, accountability, missions, and prayer. Five elements. We call it five key elements. And you know, with these elements are served in the churches even on Sunday morning. Pastor comes, open the Bible, reads the truth, then he massaging. I like when sometimes pastors in some of our evangelical churches, when they say, they read the Word of God, and then they say, "And now we'll listen to the Word of God." I say, "Wow, now we'll listen to your commentaries to what we just heard, the Word of God." But this is maybe in Poland only. And there is in the sermons, in the, you know, there's accountability. Pastors, preachers, they ask, you know, "Did you blah, 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 blah?" Of course, they don't wait for the answer immediate. And then they encourage us, "Be missional now. You heard this, you go. You pray and go and share with others what I just..." So, many ways it can be used, but in the context of the few. I remember I didn't like the idea of discipleship at the beginning because I said this is like a create an elite among the God's people. All those six are because I invited them into my group. Although the one, there was a man I just met once for lunch, for some business, and I just mentioned that I am doing discipleship group. One sentence, maybe two, no more. Next day he calls me, he says, "Pastor, how do I get to the group you mentioned, this discipleship?" I said, "Sorry, but you cannot. I just invite people I know, I pray about this, and this is September, we start." "Yeah, but I have to be in this group." You know, first time in my life it happened like this, and I said, "Well, God, are you telling me something through this?" So I invited him to this group just to learn that his father had a 25 years sentence for murdering. He never knew his father until he was adult. His father became a Christian in a prison and has been released. And this gentleman, he is a lawyer in finances. And now both of them, father and the son, they go every week to prison, to different prisons, to minister there. And I have a privilege to have a guy like this as a part of my discipleship group. So I know, I learned from Perimeter Church some principles of selecting, and I remember one of the trainers said, "Careful, you know, selection, no kind of unexpected causes." But I changed the philosophy. I said, no, when there are such like this, you better. And I'll tell you, I'm still live with this temptation inside me. I am considering starting one more new church in Warsaw. And, you know, in my age, which is beautiful age, but it's said that the church planting is for the it's a game for the young boys, yes, young preachers. But I've already talked with this gentleman. I said, you know, if I would create the team of church planters, would you be? I said, immediately. He said, "Yes." I was kind of waiting if you also invite me. So you never know what may happen with the, you start something and the different things happen around this. So this is which I share with you because these are the things which excite me to the point where I am in my seventh decade. I like to think in terms of decade. Seventh decade means if God gives me another 7 years, few months, I'll be 70. So I think I'll deserve for some kind of retirement at that point. And I pray that God will give me this 7 years. And together with my wife, we decided that we'll do something which we hope will be the most meaningful when it comes to the ministry. And that we'll do discipleship. She does with women, I do with men. And of course, I do this denominational thing. I have a nice title before my name. But I tell you, when I evaluate these things, I would, if I could, I still have for 4 years, my term is for 4 more years. But I think if I could, I would just resign and spend more time with the helping men like this, which I know, and those from the previous groups. I had a man who was, a couple years ago, for 20 years, he was a Roman Catholic priest with his PhD. And here he sits, and we both learn how to be the followers of Christ. And he learns, memorize the verses, and I memorize the verses. I didn't have to memorize because I knew them from the Sunday school. But, you know, and I say, and here's this, how many things we had to kind of deconstruct in his mind. Sometimes he would come and say, we talk about, discuss something, and he comes with some French philosopher. I say, you know what? Now you quote C.S. Lewis, not a French Catholic philosopher. So we had some fun, but I tell you, after this, he took a position for a couple of years of a pastor in one of our kind of small churches, and after all this kind of refining the ideas. So why do we do discipleship, and why it is so important? It's so simple. Because Jesus did it. Because he commanded us to do, go and make disciples. And Jesus had no other plan. I have lots of plans. And if Jesus would ask me how to build a church, I would tell him there would be much kind of better ways to build the churches. No, he had his master mind, master heart. And it's a matter of if we are going to be as he. And of course, I understand that when I shared with you, I shared mostly from my church perspective. Yes, I am a church animal. I was even literally, our first apartment was in the church building. This is where my parents and grandparents lived. So, but I am not thinking that the ministry is in church, okay? If you are teacher, if you are banker, if you are whatever profession, we are sometimes the only representatives of the kingdom of Christ Jesus in there. And so as we develop our kind of heart for the discipleship and also the competencies, as we develop, we can help others to be the followers of Christ in the places where they live, work, and play. And I believe through this, his gospel and his word will spread the best. And so my encouragement to you is, and if I can be of any help or assistance to you, how to do these things, I will be more than glad.